Danny Amendola!
The Bob Soucy Show is your source for in-depth Patriots coverage and all things NFL. Join Bob for exclusive interviews, statistical breakdowns, and the best coverage of your New England Patriots.
Gostkowski trying to win it in overtime. The snap, the spot, the kick is airborne to the upright, and the kick is a game winner!
Join the conversation by calling the Ace Ticket Hotline at 855-PATS-500 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com.
Left foot forward for the quarterback, hands extended. Takes the snap, retreats in the pocket, under a rush, throws across the middle, touchdown, Rob Gronkowski!
Now, here's your host, the radio voice of your New England Patriots, Bob Soucy.
And hello again, everyone. We welcome you to the Bob Soucy Show from inside our Subway Fresh broadcast studio here at Gillette Stadium. And, of course, invite you to join us as well over the course of the next 2 hours on our Ace Ticket Hotline at 855-PATS-500 or 508-298-0398. That is 855-PATS-500 or 508-298-0398. You can also email at webradio@patriots.com. And on the show over the course of the next 2 hours, we're going to feature Silver Salinga. He'll stop by for a live chat in studio. Of course, the young defensive lineman coming off his first regular season, full season as a Patriot, although it was affected by injury. Last year, Silver joined the Pats in October, wound up starting both postseason contests. And of course, he'll be a big figure in the Pats, Patriots plans to try to slow down the Baltimore rushing game behind that offensive line of the Ravens, with Justin Forsett coming off 1,200-plus yards in the Gary Kubiak-coached zone-blocking scheme of the Ravens. Of course, Kubiak, the former offensive coordinator in Denver, head coach in Houston, first year as the offensive coordinator for John Harbaugh, the Ravens, and we'll delve into the defensive approach for the Patriots against the Baltimore Raven rushing attack, and of course, the passing game led by Joe Flacco, who rides a remarkable streak in the postseason. Super Bowl 47 MVP Joe Flacco, along with head coach John Harbaugh, they have led the Ravens to 7 road playoff wins since 2008, 10 playoff victories overall in their time together as a quarterback and head coach, of course, each given the opportunity for the first time. Flacco drafted by the Ravens in 2008 out of the University of Delaware, just as John Harbaugh was commencing his career as the Baltimore head coach. And together they've won a Super Bowl. They've come into Foxborough, and as you know, have beaten the Patriots twice in the postseason, in 2009 in the wild card round and again in 2012 in the AFC Championship, and very nearly did it again at the end of the 2011 season, the Patriots prevailing when Billy Cundiff missed a late field goal try and the Patriots went on to the Super Bowl. But that's past, not necessarily prelude. Certainly Flacco, Harbaugh, among those figures for the Ravens, who will return to Foxborough this weekend for the matchup of these two AFC rivals. And they have become bitter rivals in a lot of ways, certainly fueled by some of the words on the other side publicly. Terrell Suggs, outspoken as we know. Suggs has been one of the more vocal, and we'll put it kindly, personalities in the NFL, and certainly with the Baltimore Ravens, is the leader of that defense. But it's a defense devoid of the likes of Ray Lewis and Ed Reed. In fact, when you look back at the 2012 Ravens-Patriots showdown for the AFC Championship, two starters in that game on the Ravens defense, Elodie Nada and Terrell Suggs, are back in 2014. Now, several guys were on that team and played in that game who will be in reserves for the Ravens here or are injured for the current Ravens. There is a guy like Lardarius Webb, the cornerback for the Ravens, who knows the Patriots from the past but did not play in that particular game. And the Patriots, of course, very much a changed football team, looking back on the 2012 edition and comparing it with the personality and personnel of the 2014 Patriots. Vastly improved defensively, much different personnel will take the field for the Pats in this game on that side of the ball. And offensively, of course, in 2012 the Patriots did not have Rob Gronkowski. He was hurt for that playoff matchup, suffering the forearm injury the week before against the Houston Texans in the divisional round. Gronk, of course, also was affected by injury in the prior season's AFC Championship game, the victory by the Pats in the second half of that contest, absent for New England. So you look at the dynamics of this series between these teams of late, their playoff encounters, the Patriots falling twice to the Ravens, losing only four times all time in Foxborough in postseason games. And, of course, with half of those coming to the Ravens, it's been a big part of the pre-contest week-long storylines since Baltimore defeated Pittsburgh in the wild card round of the AFC playoffs. But as noted, past doesn't necessarily portend to what's going to take place Saturday at Gillette Stadium. You think about the Ravens and the Steelers, for example. Well, history was on Pittsburgh's side going into that game. The Steelers were 3-0 in postseason play all time against their bitter intradivision foe, the Baltimore Ravens. The Ravens prevailed. A big part of it, of course, the absence of Le'Veon Bell, underscoring that different personnel, different personalities about the teams because of the different personnel exist in large part. And for the Patriots, new season, new matchup. It's an old rivalry in a sense, in that they bring a lot of old school hardcore values to this game. It will be a very physical football game between these two teams. But again, so many of the principles are new, and we're going to talk with one of them momentarily, Silver Salinga, the defensive lineman for the Patriots, as noted, in his first full season with New England after joining the Pats last October. And the Patriots have practiced out in the cold. Now, Silver grew up in West Jordan, Utah, but is a guy that is relatively new to New England. As mentioned, joined the Patriots last October, and last couple of days has been prepping in near zero temperatures out there, temperatures in the teens on the practice field and in Silver. What's it been like? You guys get back to work after the bye week, and you know the Ravens are coming to town on Saturday. Can you characterize the excitement in practice these last couple of days and how you guys have been able to weather the elements too?
I mean, it's been real fun. We're excited to be back, and we're excited to play against Baltimore. Last week was slow, and it was just hard just not knowing who we were going to play. And so, we were really excited to get back outside, and, with the weather, let's play off football, baby.
Only fitting, too, I would think, for this matchup in particular, these two teams, hard-nosed as they are, one expects a very physical game on Saturday, so it's only right that Mother Nature would give us a harsh environment.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
You talk about the weekend that was, watching games. You guys had a week of preparation, at least a couple of days last week. You had a scrimmage as well. The focus, though, wasn't on a single opponent. And then you watch the wild card games, and you learn Saturday night that it will be the Ravens in the divisional round. Are you eager? Are you anxious? Do you just want to get out on the football field over the weekend as you're watching other people at play?
Yeah, I was real anxious, just to sit there and just – watch everybody play. I was super excited to find out who we were going to play as well. So, I was pretty stoked to find out that we actually have a game this week.
And this will not be your first postseason for the Pats. You joined the team, as noted, in October last year, but you started both playoff games. What's different about preparing yourself the second time around when you've already been through it and you know what to expect, the heightened ramifications and the pressure of playoff football?
I think the biggest thing for me is my mind's more settled this time. It's just going out there and understanding that, I've been through this and, I understand what to expect. And it's just going out there and now it's just playing football. Nothing too different than, last year. But, at the same time, it's a whole different year. So, the biggest thing for me is I'm more grown up in my mind. And so that's a big up for me this year.
Silver Salinga, our guest. And Silver, you did have to overcome adversity to get to this point this season alone and in your past as a professional. But going back to the beginning of this season, I think it was during the week-long practices between the Pats and the Redskins, got banged up a little bit there. And then you start the season and you have an impact for this team, getting off to the good start against Minnesota and Oakland at 2-1. But in the Oakland game, the home opener, you injure your foot and you go on short-term injured reserve. So for the better part of the next 3 months, you're not on the field until December. What was that experience like for you? How difficult was it being on the sideline and working your way back on the road to recovery?
That was a big battle for me, especially, after finishing last year the way I finished it, and then coming back this year and then injuring my hand, sitting out all preseason, and then coming back thinking, okay, now I could actually get back into things, and then having another setback. That biggest thing was the mental battle. Being at home, watching everybody, it was exciting to see my, all my boys play, and they looked like they were having so much fun, my teammates, and I was just sitting on my couch, I just had to wait and let the thing heal up. So the biggest battle for me was mentally.
What or who helped you through that period?
The biggest things, you know, my parents, especially my family, and then my girlfriend. My girlfriend was there for me big time. You know, I couldn't walk around. I couldn't do a lot of stuff for myself. So she was out there doing, she did everything for me. I mean, basically everything for me, I'll tell you.
And when you did come back, she had a chance to enjoy and share the moment with you, at least whether she was watching from afar or close. When you went out to San Diego, you made a return. You sacked Philip Rivers to mark your return to the lineup. What was that like, being back on the field and contributing in such a way?
I mean, that whole week for me, you know, at first it was traveling to Green Bay with the team. You know, just the emotions, you know, even though I didn't play, the emotions of, okay, it's getting closer and I feel it. And then going to San Diego, building up to the game day and actually making the play that I made. And, you know, it was just super exciting for me. And then just to, you know, make a play and just look at my teammates like, you know, now I want to give back to you guys. I want to help now. It was a big thing for me.
And what's the difference in the defense that you left and the defense you returned to? A lot of the same guys, of course, at the beginning of the season, but this really has evolved into one of the NFL's premier defenses. You haven't allowed a touchdown in the second half of the last six games, and you guys shut down some very potent offenses to get to this point with 12 wins in the regular season.
You know, I think we're just all missing at the right time. You know, everything's coming together at the perfect timing. You know, and, you know, when I came back, it was just a coincidence that I came back when the defense had messed together. And so, I mean, it's pretty awesome to be on this defense.
Vince Wilfork, of course, a leader of this defense. One of the reasons you were brought in last year was his injury in week four of the regular season. Vince has had a good year. How much of an impact has he made on you on the field and off?
I mean, I credit everything I've done so far to him. You know, last year, you know, a lot of the stuff I did last year, you know, was out of nowhere, and that's because a lot of times I'd go out there, come on the sideline, Vince is on the sideline, he'll fix something for me. I go back out there and just fix it on the field. The difference this year is he's next to me. And so instead of me having to wait to get off the field, he tells me right then and there. And then off the field, you know, he just does so much for me, you know, with film study, you know, learning the playbook, understanding the offense, understanding how people are trying to block us. You know, he's just been a big help, and I credit him to everything I've done.
Does it help, too, to have a guy like Chris Jones, who's really at the same stage of his pro career? You guys can feed off one another and learn together, and there's a guy like Alan Branch who comes in, a veteran with a lot of NFL playing time on good teams, including Seattle.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Me and Chris, you know, we share something special because last year, you know, we were the nobodies. Like, who are these guys inside? And so we share that, you know, we share a special bond between us. And then, you know, Branch, you know, he's been in the league for a long time, and he's been on good teams as well. He's been to the big show with Arizona, and, you know, he's seen it.
Well, you've been around some good teams, too. Silver Salinga, our guest. You came out of Utah, where you played for the Utes for three seasons. You were with San Francisco for a preseason, talking about a team that was a Super Bowl-bound franchise that year. Of course, you were with the Denver Broncos. You had a chance to be on the practice squad and then play a game for the Broncos a couple of years ago, and then you were with Seattle, the eventual Super Bowl champs, early last season. What did you take from the experience with all the different teams, and what's the common denominator between those teams and the Patriots?
You know, I think the biggest thing is just the way they're coached. You know, Coach Belichick does a great job, you know, preparing us for every game, and, you know, just, you know, he does a good job simulating what's going to happen in the game on the practice field. You know, our practices are physical and they're fast. So when we go in the game, it's not like we've never seen it before. And so that's the biggest thing for me.
When you came to this team, you're of American Samoan descent. You had a guy like Isaac Sopoaga, who I'm sure you could share a lot of different things about your cultures and your backgrounds with, and also a veteran who played in the NFL. And though he's no longer with the Patriots, what kind of an impact did he have on that?
He was a big impact to me because my rookie year I was with him, and he helped me out my rookie year. And then coincidence that we were both here at the same time when I came here, you know, I was on practice squad, you know, and he was basically the guy I hung out every day with last year, the guy that I literally sat behind, I sat next to in meetings, and he was a big help to me just because, you know, we share the same culture, backgrounds. His brother, you know, actually lives a block away from me where I grew up in Utah. And so we actually share a lot of stuff in common.
And part of the culture, what's consistent with it, as we speak with Silver Salinga, in my understanding, some of the Polynesians that I've been around, a good friend of mine is a college football coach from Hawaii, and talks about family and the importance of family, and also just having a joy for life. And you seem to have that joy for football, certainly, and based on interactions at times in the locker room, seem to have a joy for life as well.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's always special just to be on a football team, let alone play for the New England Patriots. You know, and it's just been a blessing ever since I've came here.
And you come from a big family. Your parents from American Samoa. As I understand it, having read some feature stories about you, one by Mark Daniels, then in the Boston Herald, now in the Providence Journal, delved into your background a bit. Your parents were in San Bernardino, California. It's a very difficult environment in which your older brothers were raised. You moved, the family did, to Utah when you were 1 year old.
Mm-hmm.
How did football become your outlet? How did football save you from maybe some of the pitfalls that other kids might face? And what was the environment like for you growing up in Utah as opposed to what you understood of that environment back in California?
I grew up in a great place, West Jordan, Utah. And where I grew up, there's people that helped me out growing up. By the age of 8 years old, my brother came home, and I used to just never go outside. I used to be a homebody, I was a little mama's boy and didn't never want to leave the house. And my brother came home, was just like, he just looked at me, I was too big, and he just said, hey, come on. He didn't tell me nothing. We went down to the local high school. We went to Copper Hills High School, went over there. He signed me up to Little League, and everything's history from there.
And in football, was that a natural for you?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, I was just so much bigger than people, than kids back then. I was about 180 pounds. I was just 8 years old, so yeah, I was pretty big.
I mean, as you can tell, I mean, my line of ancestry is very small people, and in American Samoa, in 60 Minutes did a great piece several years ago about the number of football players who've come to the mainland from the islands, in the NFL in particular. What is it about the sport, is it simply a matter of gravitating to it because you are a big guy, or is it something about the sport that correlates with some of the things you value personally?
I mean, I think it's a lot of things. My father played rugby. I played rugby a little bit. And then coming from the islands, coming here, our family's big. And we just had to find a way out. And it basically is, we play football. Like for me, I play football. I love football. I love the game of football. But I also play football to take care of my family. And that's what makes football mean so much more to me. To other people, it may be just a game. To me, it's a game, but also it's a way for an opportunity for me to change, a lot of different stuff that, my families have went through, growing up. So it's big to me.
Yeah, your father, as I understand it, was injured, and your mom worked very long and very hard hours to support the family. Mm-hmm. You have 12 children in the family, as I understand it. I'm sure you draw the motivation and a lot of inspiration from both parents, as you alluded to, but in particular your mom and how she drove herself to care for her family. What kind of an influence did that to have on you?
It was big. There'd be times where I wouldn't see my mom. She'd go to work. I'd be at school, I'd come home, she'd be at work, and then by the time I was in bed, she'd come home. And so there'd be a time where I wouldn't see my mom for a whole week, just because, by the time I'm getting up, she's already at work, and I got to go to school, and, just seeing the sacrifices that she did for me as a kid and for my brothers and sisters, and just seeing that we always had food on the table, we always had a house to live in, we was always warm, clothes on our backs. Just see what she did just by herself, and, it helped me. It helped me grow into the man I am today, and helped me push towards my goals and push towards any adversity that I've been through. That if I just work hard and put my nose to the ground, so let everything else fall in place.
And you did face the adversity, as noted, in your pro career, as brief as it's been. First going from team to team, trying to land a spot on the active roster, and then battling through injury. What was it about your drive that kept pushing you from one team to another, especially that period of time after you were let go by Seattle for a few weeks where you're waiting for a phone call and eventually the Patriots reach out to you?
It's just people that I've grown up with. I have a strength coach back home named Matt Martinez. He's done so much for me. And he's just instilled in me the, you know, just if I'm going to go at something, go with all your heart, you know, and everything will fall in place. And if it doesn't, at least you know that you put in everything you had and you have no regrets. And so, I mean, you know, I just focused on, and all the other teams I've been on, I've also learned from a lot of vets. Denver Broncos, learned from Ty Warren. You know, he played here for a while, and he taught me a lot, too, when I was in Denver. And so, like, all these other vets that I've learned from, putting all their pieces together, trying to bond it and make it my own, has really helped me out.
You know, talking about family, it's often compared to a brotherhood, a sports team, football in particular. It seems to have that close-knit, especially good teams, that close-knit chemistry. Is that from your experience wherever you've been? Has it been a fraternity in that locker room? And is this team even tighter than others you've been around?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, these guys over here, it doesn't matter if you're defense, offense. Yeah. We all hang out with each other. And that's the great thing that I've noticed. You know, this team I've never experienced. I've been on other teams, and, you know, they've been bonded, you know, with defense and whatever. But, like, with this team, it's been different, you know, and it's not just been just this season. It started from OTAs, you know, when after lifting, after stuff, we'd all go to lunch, something simple like that. And we would all be together, offense, no matter if you played running back, defense line, safety, receiver, we'd all hang out with each other. That's the coolest thing, I think, that we have.
What was Tom Brady like? Because I've heard some guys say that he's the first Patriot to greet new teammates, regardless of position.
I think that's the biggest thing that shocked me last year when I came here, especially when he introduced himself, like I didn't know who he was. And so I think that spoke big time of, you know, Tommy. Is when I first got here, he introduced himself and I introduced myself, and he walked away and I sat there. You know, I was humbled by the experience just because I know who he is. You know, I mean, anybody would know who he is. But just the fact that he humbled himself just to come do that, it was crazy to me.
With Silver Salenga, a few more minutes remaining. I know you've got a lot of preparation to do, even though the practice time has ended for the Pats. You guys have been in meetings and a lot of film study, of course, today. But looking ahead to the Ravens, to circle back to where we began, you had a chance to play in Baltimore last year. Had a sack of Joe Flacco in that game. Eventually a lopsided win for the Pats. But the Ravens are coming off a playoff victory on the road at Pittsburgh. What impresses you about Baltimore, and in particular their run game? Because it's a zone blocking scheme, a lot of cut blocks. Gary Kubiak's had success with it as an offensive coordinator in Denver and as head coach at Houston.
They're very physical. I mean, watching the film that I've had, they're very physical. Their running back, he's real patient. He waits for a hole to open up and he'll jet it. He's fast. He's small, so he's hard to find. And so that's the biggest thing is, you know, we got to match up good with their physical. And we just got to come out there and we just got to, you know, play just as hard. And we got to match up well with it.
And the run game feeds into their passing game. Of course, they do so well with bootlegs and play action. And Flacco is a very mobile quarterback. And so how does that become a complicated challenge for a defense?
I mean, it's real complicated. But, you know, if everybody does their part, everybody does their job, we shouldn't have that much trouble. We should match up great with them. I mean, as long as we all do our own job and do our job, you know, corners do what the corners got to do, D-line do what the D-line got to do, you know, everything will mesh in together and it will look good.
It's a mantra you hear a lot around here, isn't it? Do your job.
It is. You know, it holds truth to it. It holds a lot of truth to it.
Very exciting time, I think, for Patriot fans and those of us covering the team. It must be incredibly exciting for you, of course, getting back into the postseason, especially what you've gone through this year. So continued success this weekend. Hopefully we're talking to the Patriots in the locker room about the next game next week, but I know your focus right now is on Baltimore Saturday at 4:30.
Yeah.
Silver, appreciate the time. Thanks for stopping by, and I know you got to get back to work. Thanks so much. Silver Salenga with us. We will continue with more right after this on Patriots.com Radio.
Hey, what kind of sub is that?
It's the Subway Big Hot Pastrami.
Subway Big Hot Pastrami?
No. Pastrami.
Pastrami!
What? Hey, get back here! Pastrami!
No, pastrami!
Look, it's the Subway Big Hot Pastrami.
Want to split it?
A little late for that.
Get your own Subway Big Hot Pastrami Melt, a monument to flavor loaded with dry rub, pepper-crusted beef, and melty cheese. Enjoy yours with mustard and pickles. Subway, eat fresh.
Limited time only at participating restaurants.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or tri-corner hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie, 3 Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Arizona. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square, across from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS.
I say 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Xbox One is not only a game console, but the home entertainment system every fantasy football fan needs. The NFL on Xbox One is your connection to all things fantasy, giving you personalized news, highlights, stats, and scores instantly on your TV. Watching your favorite team play on Sunday, but wondering how your fantasy players are doing? With built-in fantasy football, track your updates on TV in real time across NFL.com fantasy leagues, all while still watching live games. Xbox One, bringing fantasy football to your TV. Now available for $349 at a Microsoft store near you.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go, go. That's it. Come on, kick it into hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call ** NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime, message, and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Welcome back to the Bob Soucy Show, exclusively on Patriots.com radio.
Tom takes the step, throwing to the near side, catch is made by Vereen, and he's in for a Patriots touchdown!
Have a hot Patriots take? Call Bob on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 855-PATS-500 or email him at webradio@patriots.com. Now, here's your host, Bob Soucy.
And we welcome you back inside the Subway Fresh broadcast studios here at Gillette Stadium, and of course invite you to join us on our Ace Ticket Hotline, as noted, 855-PATS-500, and 508-298-0398. You can also email at webradio at patriots.com. We'll get to one of our emails momentarily, but first, got to go to the phone line, and waiting very patiently is our good friend Nick Baby Love calling in from Florida. Nick, I want to wish you a very happy New Year, and thank you as well for the batch of gifts and goodies that you sent our way last week. Much appreciated here at patriots.com.
Hey, Bob, it's a pleasure. I'm always very privileged to get on the show with you, and I think you know I'm going to call in forever. I just want to ask you, of all those packages and whatnot, I hope your son liked that little, because you can't buy the stuff. That's why I sent it. You know, I hope he enjoyed it.
He'll definitely get good use out of it, and we will have it on him very proudly. Especially when the weather turns. A little too chilly right now to be in a T-shirt here, but, you know, I think the temperature is going to plummet around zero by night's end this evening. But nonetheless, as soon as the weather breaks, he'll be sporting that T-shirt, at least sans a sweatshirt or sweater.
I mean, if I can hit a couple of bullet points before we
you got it, Nick. Go ahead.
Get into the game. You know, I was listening to John Rook earlier, and you know me, I came from outpatient treatment today. It's a regular routine with me, and there's a lot going on. And he mentioned, like, Mary Beth and then another guy who I guess was a cancer patient. And this is where I'm just trying to get the word out, because, you know, I've only been tweeting after training for 2.5-3 weeks now, and it's amazing, yourself included, and I really, really appreciate you. Because you've led the way with Paul and Kevin Collins and, you know, Jim, some of the producers over at 985 Sports Hub. So I'm willing to help or work with all these fans. It's amazing how many are starting to follow me. And that's what this is about. It's about the education process to me. And my first question to you, because I want to come prepared every week, and I think you know, I think you're worried about me because we're playing Saturday, right?
Saturday afternoon, yeah. First of the four division round games.
Well, what time is it?
Saturday at 4:30. It's an NBC broadcast. Actually, 4:35. It's an NBC broadcast, but of course, we hope you'll find a way either online or through satellite radio to listen to the Patriots Network with Scott Zolak and myself.
Well, obviously, I have that on lockdown.
Plus, all right, thanks, sir.
You got to put the TV sound down. But because I was wondering, because I just heard Paul Perillo say Sunday, he's over there. I guess when you go to Felgren Mass, you go into hypnosis. You know what I mean? So he was talking about we're playing Sunday, and I said, wait a minute, Paul. You know what I mean? I'm going to have to call over there. But my first question. It comes from, you know how I am. What's your life like now? Never mind you got to deal with me and the, you know, I sent you a message and whatnot, and we'll just deal with it when you deal with it. What do you feel like, and what are you doing? Scott is Scott. We both know he's crazy. And how do you keep calm? You know, what are you doing going into Saturday afternoon, especially since, well, what is it now? It's already Wednesday.
Yeah.
I'm curious how you feel and where your head's at.
Well, I feel like I've got a cold that I really have to shake. It's been a persistent cold, definitely longer than usual for me. And the bye week was a much welcomed week of a little rest, but with two little ones, that's hard to come by. But nonetheless, you know, right now we're in playoff mode, too, preparing for the broadcast on Saturday. Zoe's been breaking down film. I've been here at Gillette the last couple of days trying to get some sound from various players in the locker room and in the media workroom, and as well poring over the notes, press releases, statistics, newspaper clips, you name it, with regards to the Patriots and the Ravens in preparation for the upcoming game. By week's end, the plan is to have the voice ready to go and to have our spotter charts, which I create with notes and nuggets on the various players involved, have those ready as well. And, you know, on Saturday at 4:35, they kick it off, and what takes place on the field will shape where we go next.
Well, I mean, that's just obviously very, very important because the fans and me, I'm about education. And when other guys get on there and say, you know, the Patriots fans are dumb or
Who says that? Who says that?
Of course, Felger is the president of the button pusher club.
Oh, he pushes buttons, that's for sure.
You know what I mean?
He pushes mine every Friday. Mike and I work for the same flagship at 985, the Sports Hub in Boston, and the flagship network of our Patriots Radio Network, and as well my principal employer, good old CBS radio station. And Felger does a phenomenal job. Highly rated Felger and Maz radio show.
Well, no, and Bob Soucy is there because Nick Baby Love and all his following is bringing it every week. You know, I'm right there. He's your top supporter. But, I mean, and there we go to the Mike Thomases of the world, who is like one of the cheeses and the guy that really was instrumental in hiring you. I just think it's a thing of, you know, going into the game, you know, what's going to happen?
Let's talk about the game, Nick.
Yeah. I mean, as far as, in other words, just listening to all the smack, and it's only Wednesday, I don't want to hear about Baltimore. I could care less about Baltimore. Guess what? Here's one of my points to everybody. With all that noise they're talking, you know, look in the mirror. In other words, the whole thing with domestic abuse and all the stuff, right? If anybody is smart out there, and us as Italians and Americans, right, are you ever going to win an argument with your daughter or your wife?
Well, you know what, Nick? I mean, that's another topic.
No, of course, I know what you're buying
for another forum. I will say this, and I don't know if you're making reference to a particular Raven who's been very outspoken and will be on the field on Saturday afternoon, who has had some off-the-field issues, and I'm using that word very loosely, very kindly in his regard. I have very strong feelings about domestic violence like so many of you do. And obviously the Ravens have gone through the Ray Rice situation. They did not handle it well by any stretch, nor in the eyes of most observers, if not the vast majority, to the NFL, of course. Our focus on this show is about the game, and we'll talk about the Ravens and the Patriots at play on Saturday.
And my point with that was not to bring that up, except with Terrell Suggs and all the smack talking and whatnot, the public, you know, needs to know. Look, the Patriots handle themselves with class.
Yeah, well, you know what? There's a couple of stories that I've read in recent days, and you can Google Terrell Suggs and read about him and his past on Slate. Josh Levine wrote that piece, very well done on his part, and as well recently on Boston.com, Eric Wilbur. As well, really documented the history of Terrell Suggs off the field. I don't refer to him by his nickname. I know he's a guy that arouses a lot of laughter in his press conferences. And, frankly, even before I got this job, listening to his interview last year with Lisa Salters on ESPN, talking about Tom Brady and his disdain for the Patriots quarterback and the Patriots in general, I don't see the humor in his punchlines, and I'm going to call the game on Saturday as fair and balanced as I can, being the Patriots radio announcer. But by no means will I chuckle at Terrell Suggs. And I'll say this about Tom Brady this week: he's had very nice things to say about Terrell Suggs, and there's some gamesmanship there, I'm sure. But at least he'll do his talking on the field on Saturday, maybe literally too. But Nick, hey, I got to let you.
I thank you for your time. In other words, the bottom line, the way I've been taught, is you act like you've been there before, and that's why I'm rooting so badly for our team to win, because I just want to – I'm sick of hearing about Baltimore. I just want to shut them up, and you got a tough job calling the game because you've got to do your thing. And let's just win, and, we'll talk next week, and it'll be all good. That's bottom line is I just want to shut them up. And that's it, man.
And Nick, I got to say, I appreciate that very much. I will say on that particular team these days, I think the Ravens, at least in terms of the way they're approaching this game publicly, Suggs is the exception. I don't think there's been much trash talk, at least what I've seen and heard the last couple of days out of Baltimore. There's a great relationship between the two head coaches. I think there's tremendous mutual respect when it comes to the actual product on the field. And certainly the Patriots are very outspoken this week in their praise of the Ravens, and they anticipate a very good game. And a lot of those storylines certainly are being overplayed, if you will, this week, going into the contest, the playoff history between the two. You know, whether it's been Tom Brady's struggles against the Ravens' defense in the postseason, Joe Flacco's impeccability of late in the playoffs, what it's going to boil down to is who plays the best on Saturday. These are different teams, as I tried to document in our open, than those who met in 2012, the AFC Championship, actually in January of 2013. So we're looking forward to the game. And again, I think the focus should be on what's ahead, though I do understand a lot of the storylines that are emanating, and especially a lot of the conversation about the Ravens, because there is cause for concern from the football standpoint about the Ravens' pass rush and their ability to get to the quarterback. 49 sacks in the regular season, plus 5 against Pittsburgh and Ben Roethlisberger. There's concern about Flacco's ability to throw the deep ball and the use of play action with Forsett coming off 1,200-plus yards and Steve Smith off his 8,000-yard season and 100-yard receiving performance against Pittsburgh of Torrey Smith and the 11 touchdown receptions for Jacoby Jones and his 10 career returns regular season, postseason for touchdowns in the kicking game, including the longest kick return in Super Bowl history. So there are valid things that Baltimore can point to, and people outside outside Gillette Stadium or M&T Bank Stadium in Baltimore can point to and say, this is why the Ravens stand a chance to win this game. And you know, I do believe that the Patriots are a more complete football team than the one they fielded in 2012 for sure, and even 09 certainly in 2011. But the Ravens are a formidable team, and they've gone on the road repeatedly and gotten the job done, especially with Flacco quarterback and Harbaugh's head coach.
Well, like I said, I didn't mean to get heavy, but my final thought is, no matter what happens, it's the class, and you know how I feel about the crafts and all that. No matter what happens Saturday, Paul's going to be picking Sunday. No matter what happens Saturday afternoon, we're going to hold our head up high. And the thing is, this is what bothers me, and I'll get off the phone because you've got other callers. What bothers me the most about teams like the Ravens, the Steelers, the Cowboys, Denver, is that they talk so much smack and ESPN and them enablers. We win Sunday, we're going to act like we've been there before. We lose, we're going to take it like men. And that's why I listen to you and Scott, and I follow the Patriots, and thank God for the Kraft family setting an example. In other words, we're class. Let's just go out wherever the cards may drop, you know. And you know,
right.
we win, we ain't going to say nothing. We're just going to move on to the next game. And that's basically the bottom line. Go Patriots and go Bob Sosi.
All right, Nick, you keep preaching the gospel, and let's hope we're talking about the Patriots on a Sunday, of course, for the AFC Championship. And we'll talk about what they got to do to get to that point. Nick, thanks so much.
Hey.
Nick, baby love, Nick Salerno out of Florida, a regular, of course, on Patriots.com radio and 98.5 The Sports Hub, and a genuinely a great guy and certainly a good friend of the Patriots family. And another is a gentleman who wrote in, Mike Francis, emailed us at webradio@patriots.com, and Mike points out some of the similar storylines that have been discussed on television using the four-letter network, the Worldwide Leader in particular, and some of the things they've delved into, including the Patriots' struggles in the playoffs of late, relatively speaking. And he poses a question, what are your thoughts about the Patriots' history in the playoffs, Bill Belichick in particular, but also, and I think more relevant to this game coming up, Darrelle Revis, Brandon Browner, Rob Gronkowski, and a blossoming linebacking corps. You know, Mike, I think that's where you begin to point out the differences in the Patriots in 2014 as opposed to the past teams. Even last year in the AFC Championship, it was really remarkable, riddled by injury on defense and as well without Gronk, of course, for the postseason, having suffered that late-year injury against the Cleveland Browns. But you point to the difference between this Patriots team and others of recent vintage, and in particular matching up with Baltimore. As I noted in our discussion with Nick, there's concern with good reason about the Ravens' pass rush. Baltimore got to Ben Roethlisberger with 5 sacks on Saturday night. Of course, Pittsburgh played that game somewhat one-handed without Le'Veon Bell, a guy who's involved in roughly, roughly a fourth, 38% of Pittsburgh's rushing or passing attempts during the course of the regular season, at least with Bell in the game, involved him handling the ball. He was important in pass protection, important in the screen game, important as an outlet receiver for Ben Roethlisberger, and, of course, extremely vital to the Steelers' running game, which really became non-existent, especially after Ben Tate had an early fumble issue for Pittsburgh in that contest. And so the Steelers were really a one-dimensional team against the Ravens. Now, that said, Baltimore's secondary played a lot better than most people anticipated, at least when you look at the outcome and the results in the box score, because the Ravens have had to put 19 different players on injured reserve during the course of this year. And this is a testament to John Harbaugh and his staff, and as well the resilience of the Baltimore Ravens football team and why they are so formidable this time of the year. 19 guys on injured reserve for Baltimore this year, and a good number of them in the secondary. So the Ravens have gone through a lot of different cornerbacks and safeties during the course of this season, and yet here they are in the divisional round after, for the most part, neutralizing Ben Roethlisberger in that Pittsburgh offense, even though the Steelers had a huge advantage in yards gain, 387 to 295 in time of possession. But the Ravens kept the Steelers out of the end zone. Pittsburgh seemed to control the opening quarter, but yet trailed 7-3. And, of course, then when the Steelers got behind and started chasing points in the second half, that's when the game really spun out of their control, and the Ravens were able to put it away. Flacco has been unflappable in the postseason. You look at the last five games for the Ravens in the playoffs and the Super Bowl, all victories. Flacco, 13 touchdowns, no interceptions, 166 consecutive passes during that stretch without an interception. And as we've noted, he's got an option now in Steve Smith, along with Owen Daniels, the tight end. He may not be Dennis Pitta, one of the old reliables for Flacco and the Ravens of the past, with Pitta now injured, but Daniels very instrumental in the Ravens' success on third down in particular, along with Steve Smith in that game on Saturday night. Owen Daniels had a couple of huge third down pickups. Smith had a big third down pickup. And in fact, those two receivers at tight end, and of course Smith, who moves around from the slot to the outside, they had six of the seven longest completions of the night for Joe Flacco, including a 40-yard drive starter to Steve Smith. And that brings me back to the question Mike Francis had about Darrelle Revis. Most people here trying to break down the game would suggest or expect that Revis will be on Steve Smith, and he's had a good track record in their brief matchups in the past. Revis has that ability, again, to shut down an opposing team's receiver. We have seen him do it time and again to the Keenan Allens and Golden Tates of the NFL. Brandon Browner has that physical presence. We have seen him and Revis together more or less frustrate Matthew Stafford's receivers, the aforementioned Tate and Calvin Johnson, the San Diego Chargers receivers. After the Chargers, by the way, had scored 34 points the week before in Baltimore in a come-from-behind win. So defensively, big difference in the secondary for the Pats. Aqib Talib went out. Seven snaps for him into that AFC Championship 2 years ago. Now, offensively, Rob Gronkowski did not play in that game for the Patriots, injured the week before in the division round. Gronk, of course, has, for much of this season, from week five on, been an unstoppable force for the Patriots. And the Ravens have had some success against Jimmy Graham, for an example from this season, but very little success against a guy like Antonio Gates from this past season. And again, a lot of issues about the Ravens' safeties and can their linebackers, who have really amassed some impressive numbers. When you talk about Darryl Smith and the rookie C.J. Mosley out of Alabama, their first-round pick who's going to the Pro Bowl, or at least has been invited to the Pro Bowl, first rookie Pro Bowler in Ravens history. The defensive line makes a lot of those things happen for those linebackers, just because of how good the line is. And, of course, Suggs is a linebacker, but he's also a very fearsome pass-rushing end at times. Elvis Dumervil, they key that pass rush for the Ravens. But Brandon Williams inside, Haloti Ngata back from his late-season suspension. There's some depth there as well. So the Ravens very good up front defensively, but Baltimore still has to find a way to control or contain Rob Gronkowski, complemented by Julian Edelman, Brandon LaFell, and I think a guy who will be very important for the Patriots this week, Shane Vereen, who can help New England have that dimension that was missing from Pittsburgh, talking about the screen game involving the running back, or at least the ability for the Patriots to kind of run in space as they did in the third quarter of the Jets game. It was Vereen's running that helped jumpstart New England's offense in that game when the Patriots drove to a field goal against the Jets in their come-from-behind win late in the regular season. Speaking of Edelman, he was on the practice report today, released by the Pats and the Ravens as a limited participant for New England. Wide receiver still apparently recovering from the concussion that kept him sidelined for the last two regular season games. LeGarrette Blount had a limited participation today because of an illness. Jonas Gray, limited participant, bothered by an ankle injury, which kept him out of the season finale. Jonas, a former property of the Ravens on their practice squad. Brad and LaFell coming off a shoulder and toe issue with LaFell and hobbling off the field, but only to return against the Buffalo Bills in the regular season finale. A limited participant today. He was not spotted at practice last week in the bye week, though there was no practice report reported by the Patriots last week during the bye week. As for the Baltimore Ravens, the aforementioned Owen Daniels did not participate today in practice, non-injury related, according to the Ravens. Same goes for the aforementioned linebacker Darryl Smith. He did not participate, non-injury related. Meanwhile, two important figures for the Ravens going into this game. Speaking of depth on the defensive line, Timmy Jernigan, youngster out of Florida State, bothered by a foot and ankle injury, did not play against Pittsburgh. But today, full participation for him in practice. And Eugene Monroe, he's been the left tackle for the Ravens when healthy the last couple of years, the former Jacksonville Jaguar with an ankle injury, did not play against the Steelers. And that meant that a rookie free agent, James Hurst, started at left tackle, and the outstanding guard, Marshall Yonda, kicked out from right guard to right tackle where Hurst had been. So for the Ravens, if they get Monroe back at left tackle, that certainly gives them experience at that position, though there is a feeling in some reports out of Baltimore that even if Monroe is good to go for Saturday, Hurst may stay at that left tackle spot, and we'll see how he's able to match up with Chandler Jones in particular, again projecting at least what would be the most likely or most frequent matchup in that game. But the Ravens' offensive line, much improved over last year. There were a lot of problems protecting Flacco a year ago, only 19 sacks allowed this year during the regular season. But in this postseason, the center, Jeremy Zuda, as we're going to talk about with Scott Zolak in just a moment, they've had some issues there. He got pushed around a bit opposite the Pittsburgh Steelers as the replacement for Gino Gradkowski, who really struggled there last season for the Ravens. And as noted, Hurst at left tackle, a guy that has made his way into the postseason as a rookie free agent, first ever rookie free agent left tackle to start in a playoff game, again, for the Baltimore Ravens last week on the field against the Pittsburgh Steelers. So you talk about the differences in these teams, you look at the practice report. Again, we'll keep our eyes on Monroe in particular for the Ravens and for the Patriots as well. Obviously, Julian Edelman and Brad and LaFell from that receiving corps and Jonas Gray from the running back stable for the Pats. Mention Scott Zolak. We're going to talk to him in a few moments. Jackie Britton coming in from Patriots.com as well. Jackie, like myself, has been in the locker room the last couple of days and has faced the elements today in particular to report on the Patriots practice, and you can see that report on Patriots.com. I think she has thawed out, although stepping into the studio, she's wearing her stocking cap again, and we do have a space. We do have your toque.
Yeah,
I could have used the toque. It's a very
it's a
very attractive cap with Pat Patriot logo.
Yeah, I stole it from Brady. Kidding. No, yeah, I bought this before they like all sold out.
I was gonna say you got yours before I could get mine.
Yeah. I think it was like the Denver game. It was supposed to snow like incredibly that day, so I went to the pro shop, and thankfully they still had a lot. But yeah, I think I might have broken the space heater over here, but that's okay.
I don't think you. It hasn't been working since I stepped in.
Okay. All right.
Yes,
yeah.
It's a meat locker.
Man, it's cold. You know, I don't understand how Chris Jones can practice for however 2 hours or whatever it is in short sleeves and shorts or whatever it was he had on. And Vince Wilfork was talking about it, too. I read a report, I think, by Mike Reese, who was talking about how he practices like it's going to be 80 degrees out. That is some mental toughness.
Especially for a guy from Florida.
Yeah.
I mean, I can understand. Chris Jones played collegiately in Northwest Ohio, so maybe you can understand. Okay, he's
but you're
been out in the cold
born with an extra
before.
Layer of skin just because of that. I don't know. That's tough. That is real toughness right there.
Dante Hightower was asked by Tom Curran in today's press conference for him what he's going to wear on Saturday afternoon. He actually admitted that he might wear at least half sleeves. And when Tom joked that, you know, other guys on the team are going to go out there with, you know, their bare arms underneath their jersey. Dante said, you know, I don't have to prove my toughness now, essentially. So
yeah, I think I would just call it quits on that one. I'd just be wearing whatever I could.
Yeah, you know, the linemen, they don't want to, even with the skin-tight Lycra, they're not going to give the opposing team any advantage psychologically.
Right.
Or physically if
right.
they can grab on.
I wonder how much that does affect your physical play, though. You know, like staying loose and warm in really, really cold games like that. I don't know. That's risky. That's scary.
Well,
I don't know how they do it.
I you know, it seems to me, based on hand warmers alone and the
right.
gloves that guys wear,
yeah.
that, you know, there's some value to,
yeah.
to layering up out there.
Absolutely. Yeah, so it's been cold here.
Now, some guys may go out there without sleeves, but they're combating the elements naturally. Some thicker beards
right.
in the locker room.
I
these
know, there really
Julian
are.
Edelman, Rob Nikolic.
I know.
And Rob's, of course, always had the thick beard, but
yeah,
like
he
it's
does.
Going out a little bit.
Edelman,
more.
I feel like that was like overnight. It felt like, I was like, wait, has he always had a beard? Yeah, that's, I guess that seems to be the mantra this time. You know, playoffs, whatever it is, postseason, winter, the beards just kind of come out of nowhere.
Offensive linemen look alike. Now, Nate Solder's
yeah.
the exception, but Vollmer.
Yeah.
Wendell.
That's right.
Of course,
they all have Stork.
Connolly. Stork,
mm-hmm.
very much so.
Yeah.
And the good news about them, the best news about them, not their facial hair, but the fact that they're all together at practice this week.
Yeah, absolutely. That's definitely been one of the things to keep an eye on. You know, they've been under the spotlight a lot this season, but they've really they've played their best. And I think the strength, obviously, is when those five guys are up front. And it's just the facts. I mean, that's just the way it is. So, yeah, good sign to see them all out there this week and all out there last week. And so hopefully that's a good sign, because it's going to be – that's going to be the matchup that I'm looking forward to seeing the most is the offensive line versus this defensive line.
Jackie Britton, at Jackie Britton on Twitter with us. And, you know, you talk about the matchup, and obviously Doomerville and Suggs get
yeah.
a lot of attention. But also the heart of that defensive line, too, with Nada and Brandon
right.
Williams, really a blossoming young player. Tom Brady's got to have a pocket to step into
yeah.
as well. And the Ravens, again, with a fearsome foursome, they can rush the passer with those four guys up front.
Yeah, and we've seen, you know, I know that they don't like to look in the past or anything, but there's still a lot to be said about the kind of trouble that Suggs can, you know, gives Brady. I mean, in all honesty, so it's definitely not a, you know, he missed a couple of games, but doesn't really seem to matter at this point. So yeah, interesting. One of the most interesting matchups in this game. A lot of storylines heading into this matchup for sure. So Rob Gronkowski being one of them. You know, I'm a little concerned about that. I think there's going to be so much attention on him that I just hope that they're able to find a way to, you know, shake off those defenders.
Well, speaking of Gronk, yesterday seemed as though he was wearing his excitement in his expressions and his voice.
Right.
He's been out of the playoffs last year and for part of 2012 as well. So
right.
I imagine, you know, as good-natured and easygoing as Gronk can be,
right.
he's very much focused
yeah.
on this game in particular.
Yeah, he's really excited. You can tell. It'll be, I mean, this is, you know, having Julian Edelman obviously back. The Ravens, it seems like they play really smart, especially this time of year, but so does this team. I mean, this is the best they've looked, you know, at least the past couple of years that I've been here, is having Rob Gronkowski back fully. Andy Hart, I must say, unfortunately, wins his, not unfortunately, but I hate when Andy's right, but he wins his prediction of, his bold prediction back during training camp, which was that Rob Gronkowski would play all 16 games, which was pretty sure for the most part. For the most part, true.
Yeah, he was held out of the season finale. He was
yeah,
healthy enough
right,
to play.
But, right, exactly. But that, so I guess you don't really count that. I wouldn't.
But I think, you know, yeah, no, nor would I. And I think Gronk, yeah. You know, he made a statement during the offseason that he wanted to play every
yeah.
game this season.
Yeah.
And he did accomplish that for the regular campaign. But as we learn in 2011, even when the Super Bowl team, Gronk with the issue there with the ankle and then the forearm in 2012,
right.
it's so important for him to be on the field in
yeah.
the playoffs.
We've seen what he does. I mean, he's definitely a keystone to the passing offense. There's no doubt about that. And, you know, but this team has certainly shown ways to win without him, but it definitely helps having that keystone there as you head into this game. And, you know, I think the Patriots will have a lot better success in the passing game as well. So I don't know. I mean, I'm not like nervous for this game, but I'm a little, just because of the nature of what it is. And it's the rivalry between, you know, these two teams, but I think the Patriots are looking really good right now. I mean, to have your entire roster out on the practice field this late in the season, I think that just is a testament to how well they've really managed the health and the personnel of this team during the bye week. And I think it was smart, obviously, to let guys not play in that finale. I mean, it came at the cost of a loss, but, you know, I mean, what does that mean now? Nothing.
Yeah, I think there's apprehension, with good reason in some ways, about this game because of the past and,
right.
and the Ravens' success in Foxborough in particular, and, of course, the track record of John Harbaugh and Joe Flacco.
Yeah.
But there was a time, and I think it really stopped last year when the Patriots went to Baltimore, when some here in the media talked about teams like the Ravens punching the Patriots and not getting punched back.
Right.
But we saw late last season, and I know, again, these teams are different than the teams who played in Week 16 last year, Jackie, but the Pats went to Baltimore, and they physically dominated the Ravens in that game and ran away from Baltimore. And I think that when you look at the past, maybe that game is a pretty good indicator of the toughness of the Patriots and the mentality of this team.
Yeah.
And it's only gotten stronger because of the addition of guys like Revis and Brown.
Right, 100%. I think that it's all, at this point, I wonder how much of it is more mental, you know, as opposed to physical. But, yeah, I mean, we've seen that a number of times, you know, against the Broncos last season, you know, whatever it was, 23, 30 points or something in the second half. The toughness of this team is incredible. I would love to be a fly on the wall in, like, the locker room just to see how – because we hear how they approach each day, but you never really know if, you know, if that's just a – let me just say this to the media because it's the media. Or how, I'm interested to see how they're, like, trained so well mentally from that perspective. I don't know. It's amazing. But they're definitely mentally tough, and I think that could be – that could be the make or break in this game.
What's interesting, too, to me, and we're speaking with Jackie Britton, and I know you felt the same way about Brandon Browner, particularly yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
There's a certain looseness, too, to some of the Patriots this week.
Brandon Browner has been – I was not in the locker room at that time, but I've watched the footage that we have. Yeah, he's really loosening up a little bit, you know, kind of making jokes with the reporters, having some fun, taking the mic, trying to be a reporter. You know, he's – I mean, it's all harmless. It's all in good fun, but – it's good to see, you know, it seems like they're a confident group, you know, it's good to see a little fun break out of that. That's secondary. They are just always so confident. They've got so much to say all the time. They're always the loudest ones in the locker room. So it's been good to see him kind of break out of his shell, because when he first got here, we interviewed him, like, right, I think, when the Patriots had signed him, and he, you know, he was really, really quiet, didn't have a whole lot to say. So it's been kind of cool to watch him have so much fun in the locker room. But, he's been pretty vocal.
One of the more soft-spoken members of that secondary had the biggest crowd around his locker, Darrell Revis.
Yeah, Darrell Revis. That was, he stays very even-keeled, very level-headed. But, you know, it's funny because he plays total opposite. You know, I mean, still kind of, I mean, he's a quieter guy, but he's just, out of all those guys, you would just think he's, you know, he's the big name. He's Darrell Revis, but he's the quietest one out of everyone in that group.
Darrell Revis was interviewed by Greg Bedard of the MMQB.com, and it's worth reading, and he talked about the sickness that he and Tom Brady and Bill Belichick all share. It's a sickness to be great, and how driven he is, and he's a very polite guy.
Yeah.
And seems very humble, actually, in settings with reporters. But there is this tremendous drive inside of Darrell Revis. And Steve Smith is a guy who we saw last year with the Carolina Panthers get under the skin of Aqib Talib.
Oh, right. Yeah.
And I've got to think, if they're matched up together, the thing about Revis is it's a quiet confidence.
Yeah, right.
He won't be unnerved.
Exactly.
Try to shut
down
Steve
Smith. That's huge. Yeah, he doesn't let that kind of stuff, or at least it seems like he doesn't let that kind of stuff get rattle him in any way, and he lets his playing kind of speak for himself. I have, you know, I really do like the he's adopted the Mutombo, you know, the finger wag. I think I like that. I don't know how many games he's done it in, but it's been a couple. We have a couple of shots of it.
Yeah, I'm trying to think, maybe the Chicago game was the first time that I saw. Is it the
Chicago?
Yeah,
we show it all the time in all of our pieces.
Yeah.
I love it because it's I like that. I'm like, okay, he's got some, you know, he's got some fire to him. That he's not afraid to, like, let out a little bit. He's really nice, really humble, good guy.
Well, Jackie Britton with us, and a lot going on, of course, as the Patriots prepare for the Ravens on Saturday. You've got a live edition of All Access.
That's right.
On the CBS affiliate, WBZ-TV. What's special about this particular episode for you?
Usually I focus on the opponent aspect of the show. Dan Roach covers the Patriots' perspective, and then I kind of look at the opponent's side. So this time, Dan Roach was in Baltimore for a day, so he was gathering sound on the opponent's side. So I'm just kind of focusing on the Patriots. It's cool because, you know, you kind of get to see a little bit of what was going through the coaches' minds Saturday night, you know, watching the Ravens-Steelers game and when they knew that it was going to be the Ravens. And so they kind of, it's just about how they get to work. You know, as soon as that final whistle blows, it's all about, you know, getting the film and getting in the meeting rooms and just kind of focusing on the next opponent. And then, you know, been full speed ahead ever since then. So just the Patriots perspective. And I think, you know, Scott Zolak sits down with Bill Belichick. That's always interesting to watch. And I think we have a feature with Rob Gronkowski and Scott mm-hmm. Zolak as well. So pretty meaty show this week for the playoffs.
You know, and Bill Belichick last week was asked during a press conference about the whole process of breaking down video. And it was really a fascinating press conference. And so I'm really interested
really
in seeing your piece this week on All Access Friday from 7 to 8. And you can come by a CBS scene at Foxborough's Patriot Place.
Yep, live show. I'm not thrilled about being outside for my tag, but I will be outside for a little bit. Gotta maybe go get a jacket, I guess.
Well, speaking of jackets, and yesterday you were at the Pine Street Inn with Robert Kraft and Mary Walsh of Boston.
Yeah, that was awesome. So they are these sleeping bags. They are coats that convert into sleeping bags, and it was all started through an idea from this woman in Detroit. It was part of her college project. She grew up, I would definitely say, underprivileged and was able to really, take a college project. She somehow earned a degree or got a scholarship and has now become the founder and CEO of the Empowerment Plan. And they hire homeless people. They hire homeless women to to create these bags, and they sell them across the country. And, especially here with the week that we have here, I mean, temperatures are getting below zero this week. And I mean, for some people, that's a matter of life and death who are living on the streets. So it was really cool. I know that some of the players pitched in to purchase some of these. The Kraft family pitched in, the Patriots Charitable Foundation, some of the employees here pitched in to purchase over 200 sleeping bags. And so that happened yesterday. None of the players could go because their schedule is different this week. But Robert Kraft was there. The mayor was there. Andre Tippett was there. So it was a pretty big deal, and it was really, really cool.
It's very, very important, as you noted, because you and I can joke about standing on the practice field for 5 minutes, 10 minutes
no,
or so.
You're 100% right.
Some people have nowhere to go for shelter.
Puts things in perspective really, really quickly. So it was cool to see that. And the idea came about Robin Glazer, who's a Patriots executive here. She had seen this through someone had posted on her Facebook, so she really had brought the idea to the attention of the organization, and everyone was on board immediately, it seems like. So it was really cool.
And again, you can see Jackie's reporting on that on Patriots.com as well.
Yeah, and there will be an extended version in Patriots All Access as well with the woman, Veronica Scott, who started it all. So pretty cool.
Great, looking forward to it.
Yeah.
Do you want to hang around for a couple phone calls?
I'm going to run back. I'm going to finish my work, but I'm sure that they, you know, would love to hear from you, Bob.
Well, we're going to go from one Georgia native to another.
Oh,
so,
really?
Yeah, Al from Georgia is on the line.
Okay, I'll listen. I'll listen
to Al. All right, we'll take Al's call because he's been on hold for 20 minutes plus.
Oh, wow. Bless his heart.
Al, how are you? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you there, Bob. Yeah, of course.
Thank you.
Just to clarify, I'm not born and raised. I can't claim.
Oh, you're not a native. I'm sorry.
Born and raised in Valdosta, Georgia. I was born and raised in New Hampshire. That's why I'm a Patriots fan.
Okay.
But it's okay, Jackie. It's southern New Hampshire.
Okay. Well, good. There is that.
Nothing to worry about.
Now, does that make you a damn Yankee down in Georgia if you hail from New Hampshire?
Well, in our schools, in public schools in New Hampshire, we're carefully taught to consider Rhode Island to be a southern state.
Oh, wow. Oh, jeez. Yeah, see, I think people are crazy when they say Virginia is south.
I don't differentiate.
Okay. All right. We'll see about that.
Al, what's on your mind?
Well, listen, like many Americans, it's becoming a holiday tradition. I had a rather impressive collection of Buffalo Wild Wings gift cards that I got for Christmas. And looking forward to using them here throughout the playoffs. As the Pats progress here, I really don't think we're going to struggle that hard. As long as our offensive line remains intact for most of the game, I kind of have, you know, nightmares of Terrell Suggs or some semi-cheap artist Ravens guy, you know, taking out Sebastian Vollmer's knee, you know, so get into our depth on offensive line, which could be an issue.
Those aren't pretty pictures.
There, but.
No, Al. We need to.
I think we need to put you in yoga. You need to have some positive thoughts, Zen, coming to you.
Well, that's my one concern. Beyond that, I think we're going to do great, and it's great to have Gronk back for the playoffs, that's for sure, like you were talking before.
Yeah, it sure is.
A kind of a technical question, and I don't know, you know, I'm not a, you know, certainly not any kind of a techie. I sort of point and click my way through the digital, you know, world.
Oh, you don't have to explain to me about not being a techie. So what's your question? Because I'm sure I'll be equally confused.
I have, you know, like the caller was mentioning before, I like to listen to you and watch the video at the same time. And if they're not synced up exactly right, who cares? I'd rather listen to Bob Soci and Scott Zolak, you know, even if it's out of sync with whatever the video is. But I understand there actually may be a device that syncs up, you know, like satellite radio with satellite audio or satellite radio with satellite video or the audio with the video, if they're both on satellite or cable and satellite.
You know, I don't believe, you know, Al, actually, you know, Al, what some people will do is they'll use their DVR and they'll record the.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they use the DVR and they put it on pause at the start of the game. And then, you know, whatever the difference is between the audio signal that you're getting on your satellite radio, the internet, or if you live within the range of our radio stations on the Patriots radio network, people will sync it up.
Satellite with you.
Yeah. So, you know, I know it's a longer delay on satellite, of course, but just use the DVR if you can and try to sync it up that way.
That was pretty good talking techie, Bob.
All right.
That was pretty good. You did great.
Well, thank you, Jack. I appreciate that. And you did as well. And Al, you did too. I got to let you go because I've got another fan calling in from a southern state, Virginia. So I'll let you go. Al, Happy New Year.
All right.
All right, take care. Jackie, thank you so much. I know you got to get back to work.
All right, I will see you later. Thank y'all.
All right, sounds good. And momentarily, we're going to talk with Bo Smoka of Comcast Sports Mid-Atlantic, and he'll talk to us about the Baltimore Ravens. But first, let's get to Kate in the Mid-Atlantic, if not the South, Virginia. Kate, how are you today?
Hey.
What's on your mind?
I just wanted to talk about our offensive line and the defense coming up on this game on Saturday here.
Okay, go ahead.
If our offensive line is going to be able to hold up through at least until the fourth quarter and we can stop that defense from getting to Tom, the defense isn't all that good, so and Tom would just tread them up if we can get Gronk and stuff and everyone else open.
Well, I think that would be a great plan, and hopefully for the Patriots it comes to fruition. I think we're going to see the Patriots try to play fast at times and spread out the Ravens and Tom to get the ball out of his hand very quickly, much the way the Pats did against the Detroit Lions with their very imposing defensive front, of course, anchored up front by Ndamukong Suh and with Ziggy Ansah et al. So we'll likely see a similar situation, I think, for the Patriots. Best case scenario, Gronk has a huge day, and Brady is indeed protected by that offensive line.
Yeah. If we can probably get up by, like, maybe 14, 10 to 14 by the start of the fourth, we should be in pretty good position to win it.
Well, I'll tell you, I think that the Patriots certainly go into this game as a complete football team with a great opportunity to win it. But one would expect, I think when you look at it, you know, based on the Ravens' performance against Pittsburgh, and also just, I think, again, areas of strength for the Ravens and potential weaknesses for the Patriots, it figures to be a close game and a struggle. Vince Wilfork said today in his press conference, it's not going to be a blowout, and that's for sure. And it will come down to the team, as it usually does in the NFL, but especially in the playoff setting, that makes the fewest mistakes. So, you know, maybe one team or the other pulls away late, but I think it's going to be a tight, tension-filled game going into the late minutes. But hopefully, again, from the Patriots' point of view, you're on top of it better than I am, and you can, you know, look into your crystal ball and see clearly. But it should be fun. Should be a very exciting game, Kate.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for your call.
Yeah, thanks.
Okay. We're going to take a a moment again to touch on a couple of things with regards to this matchup of the Patriots and the Ravens before we get on the horn with Bo Smoka of Comcast Sports Mid-Atlantic. And when one talks about the Ravens and strengths of their team, you know, we've noted the defensive line and the push the Ravens can get now with Haloti Ngata playing at defensive end and Brandon Williams at nose tackle, and as well the ability of Terrell Suggs in a variety of ways to disrupt an offense from his outside linebacker position, or Elvis Dumervil to rush the passer. Again, with those two guys in particular, the Ravens had a huge year getting to quarterbacks and had a big night against the Pittsburgh Steelers. And it will be incumbent on the Pats offensive line to protect them. But it doesn't necessarily come down to individual matchups per se of Nate Solder versus Terrell Suggs or Sebastian Vollmer versus Elvis Dumervil. There will be times when the Patriots will use a tight end or running back, of course, to help in pass protection. It certainly seemed to be a problem for the Steelers the other night because of the absence of Le'Veon Bell and the newness of Ben Tate just picked up in the week that preceded that game for the Steelers, that they've got some issues. The Steelers had some issues in pass protection, and there seemed to be a communication problem. Now, the Pats have lately had some communication issues with their offensive line. But again, with some time now to practice off the bye week and with the offensive line seemingly back intact and good health, the Patriots should be able to resolve those, or at least one hopes that they have, in anticipation of Saturday's game with the Baltimore Ravens. But again, I think sometimes we look at the matchup of units and you break it down individually, and it's mano a mano, at least on the surface, but when you get into the game, it's all the working parts together. And the one thing about the Pats at their best this year, when they really got it going in the middle of the season offensively, certainly a strength of this team was the 11-man unit, the offense working together. And that was the offensive line in sync with the extra tight end, or even Gronk helping in pass protection at times, as well as the running backs. And as we get set for the matchup of the Patriots and Ravens again, we're going to go to Baltimore shortly for the Ravens' point of view from Bo Smoka, who covers the Ravens for Comcast Sports Mid-Atlantic. Bo is a guy that will spend some time with us. Our producer, Zach Lane, is going to give him a call in just a moment, and we'll get him on the line and talk Patriots-Ravens. And when we look ahead to the matchup, of course, we do it from a Patriots perspective exclusively, but it will be interesting to get the vibe from Baltimore. Dan Roach, as Jackie Britton noted a moment ago, was in Baltimore this past week, or at least yesterday, to sit down with several Ravens or to seek out several Ravens in the locker room and attend the press conferences after the Baltimore practice. And Roach is going to have a report, of course, on WBZ on All Access on Friday night at 7 o'clock. And as well, you can watch it archived on Patriots.com. And talking to him today, he said that, the Ravens do seem to have tremendous respect for the Patriots. And he gets a different sense in some respects about the mindset of the Ravens toward the Patriots entering this game than maybe in the past. And I think the Ravens have come into games in the past against the Pats in the playoffs with that chip on their shoulder, with New England almost being a NFL nobility. But when you look at this particular Patriots team, and I think one of the things that I think about in this matchup, if there's a chip on the shoulder, maybe it's the Patriots. There's been not necessarily an alarmist reaction to the news that the Pats would play the Baltimore Ravens, but certainly when a lot of the attention, or at least a good portion of it, focuses on those past playoff games and the strengths of the Ravens and the concerns for the Patriots, in my view, I think that the Patriots can channel that into energy for them. And not that they need it, not that you should have extra motivation or need extra motivation at this stage, but Scott Zolak and Andy Gresh made a great point earlier today. There's the sound of Terrell Suggs telling Tom Brady and the Patriots to go enjoy the Pro Bowl after that game in the AFC Championship a couple of years ago. Well, no doubt those words have echoed through the halls of Gillette Stadium this week, and Scott and Andy on the Sports Hub 98.5 talked about that today. And, you know, I think it's something the Patriots did, seizing on the words of James Hedebo, a former Raven and a former Patriot, interestingly enough, a little bit earlier this year with the Detroit Lions, talking about respect and the Lions' defense. And I think there was a sense in the Patriots' locker room that maybe their defense was disrespected. And certainly they played that game not only with you know, a laser focus and shutting down Calvin Johnson and Golden Tate, but also with that proverbial chip on the shoulder. And again, I think most cases it's hyperbole, it's overblown in the media, and you know, makes for good talking points, of course, on the sports networks and on sports talk radio. But if there's any advantage in that regard, you know, maybe it's been nullified if it was with the Ravens in the past, again, based on the way a lot of people locally are looking at the potential matchup on Saturday, the way they expect it to unfold. Well, speaking of the Baltimore Ravens perspective, Bo Smolka, a longtime friend, covers the Ravens for Comcast Sports Mid-Atlantic, and you can read him on their website. And you can also Google Bo Smolka, S-M-O-L-K-A, and perhaps order his children's books, using the game of baseball in particular, to teach very important lessons to the young readers out there. And Bo joins us now. You can also follow him on Twitter, and that's Smolka, S-M-O-L-K-A. And Bo, good to talk with you today. I know you've been watching this Ravens team kind of transform itself in the postseason once again, as they always seem to do with John Harbaugh and Joe Flacco as head coach and quarterback. What stood out for you on Saturday night against the Pittsburgh Steelers that impressed you the most?
Is how much better they looked than when they were in Pittsburgh just a couple months earlier. You know, Ben Roethlisberger absolutely carved them up in early November. Six touchdown passes. The Ravens got off to a good start in that other meeting, and then things fell apart, and they fell apart quickly. Which the other thing that struck me on last Saturday night was just this Ravens team looked, honestly, much better than they had for the previous month. I mean, again, the Ravens, the last month of the season, did not look very impressive. They earned that last wild card playoff spot. They had to squeak by. They didn't look all that good in beating Cleveland. They didn't look all that good in beating Jacksonville. They looked absolutely awful in losing at Houston. So there were some issues there. But something about this team, the playoff light goes on, and they looked ready to play from the time they got there. They outplayed the Steelers in, I thought, all three phases of the game, and it was a complete effort. And obviously, they earned their trip to New England this weekend.
And certainly when the light shines most intensely, their quarterback has been unflappable. Before we talk about Joe Flacco, though, their head coach, John Harbaugh, has had this remarkable run in the postseason, especially on the road since he took over in 2008. And it also strikes me that he's got a great staff. I mean, Steve Spagnuolo has put together a patchwork secondary. He, of course, was the defensive coordinator for the Giants in 2007, when the Giants ended the Patriots' perfect season in the Super Bowl. And there's so many other guys on that staff that stand out, including Gary Kubiak as offensive coordinator, the job he's done implementing his system. What is it about this particular staff under John Harbaugh that carries over from the coaches to the players?
I think it starts with Harbaugh. I think he's got a good pulse on the kind of the hierarchy going from him through his assistants, his coordinators, down to the position coaches, down to the players. The feedback and the relationships, I think, are all quite good. The other coordinator you didn't even mention was Dean.
Yeah, you know, I was just thinking of it.
I'm in New England, and I thought, honestly, was one of the unsung heroes of the game Saturday night, because I thought defensively they really confused Pittsburgh in a lot of ways. And I thought Dean Pease did a great job getting that defense ready, knowing that his defense, frankly, was embarrassed in Pittsburgh in November. So it's a good staff. I mean, there's been some turnover year to year. Obviously, this past offseason, he lost Jim Caldwell to the Lions, and then Jim Caldwell took Terrell Austin with him to the Lions, and that opened the door. Spagnuolo comes in, and now he's got he was here already, but it's a good staff. And Harbaugh, you know, he's been a great fit for this organization. He was hired, you may recall, when he got hired, he came out as a special teams coach. He hadn't been a coordinator anywhere. And there were some people skeptical about that kind of pedigree to take over a head coaching job in the NFL. The path to being a head coach generally didn't go that way. But he's made there can't be any debate now that it was the right choice to make. And as I said, now every year but one he's been here, he's had this team in the playoffs. And the other thing is, every year they've made the playoffs, they've never been a one and done. They've always won at least one playoff game. So this team has a sense of mission, and it gets focused. And for whatever reason, they get to playing their best in the postseason. Remember the Super Bowl year, they also stumbled down the stretch at the end of the season.
Yeah, lost 4 or 5.
And when Ray Lewis announced that he was going to retire, and I was there that day, and all the players rallied and said, well, we're going to take this thing to New Orleans for him. You just got the sense that sounded honestly like some empty rhetoric based on how they had played the previous 3 or 4 weeks. But there they go. The playoffs start. They beat Indianapolis at home. They get on a roll. They get that crazy play with Jacoby Jones in Denver. And then they go up to New England, and they win again. And so this team has a way of just dialing it up come playoff time. It's not a formula I think anyone wants in terms of, you know, it gives you some gray hair when they look so bad at times. But as I said, you can't deny the success this team has had once the postseason gets here.
And I'm glad you mentioned Dean Pease, because you're right. He put together a masterful game plan against the Pittsburgh Steelers, and, of course, had been a defensive coordinator and on the Patriots staff with Bill Belichick. And I read in a chat online with Teddy Bruschi on ESPN.com that he talked about Dean Pease helping the Patriots defense prepare for up-tempo offenses. And Teddy thought this would be an advantage for Baltimore with Dean Pease as a defensive coordinator, having a real good understanding of what the Patriots offense does with its up-tempo style, which causes a lot of problems for teams. And I've mentioned Detroit as an example, and many expect the Patriots this weekend to use that turbo offense to try to neutralize the Ravens' pass rush. How valuable do you think Dean Pease's presence on the staff and his institutional knowledge of the Patriots will be on Saturday?
I think it will be very valuable. I think it was valuable last time too. And I think, he's got familiarity, certainly. I mean, you know, the thing is, and I was telling someone earlier, I mean, you go back to the game a couple of years ago, there are obviously some key players still here. There's a lot of players on both teams that were not here the last time they played. So there are some different personnel groupings involved and different players involved, but the familiarity piece has, will certainly help. He's creative. He's had to be at times this year with the players he's had to work through. But I have no doubt that he'll come up with a clever scheme, and he'll have these guys prepared for whatever New England wants to throw at them.
Joe Flacco, Patriots quarterback, as we speak with Bo Smoke of Comcast Sports in the Mid-Atlantic region, covers the Ravens there. And Joe Flacco, of course, was the MVP in the Super Bowl 47, had a tremendous run, no interceptions, 11 touchdowns, got the big contract. In essence, it was really a changing of the guard for the Ravens. They went from being Ray Lewis and Ed Reed's team to Joe Flacco's team. And he doesn't seem to have changed from afar. What's he like up close, and why is he so unflappable in the postseason with 166 consecutive passes without a pick?
Yeah, he is what you see. I mean, that's, you know, there's not a lot of flash or, you know, anyway, he is unflappable. And I think the thing with him is, he does, as you said, he doesn't make mistakes, or that's been the key to him in these playoff runs. No interceptions in that whole Super Bowl run. I believe it's now in the last 9 playoff games he has played. I want to say it's 9. I think it's 20 touchdowns and 2 interceptions. I mean, you're going to win a lot of playoff games when you play like that. But he is unflappable. You know, I know after the game Saturday, John Harbaugh raved about him. He called him the best quarterback in the league, and I'm sure people in Green Bay and people in New England kind of chuckle at that and think it's a ridiculous statement. But honestly, why wouldn't Harbaugh say that? These two have been tied at the hip front. They both came in at the same time. He's delivered for Harbaugh every chance he's had, pretty much. And he's been an outstanding playoff quarterback for him. The thing with Flacco is he's not – it's funny because he can honestly look awful at times, and he can look great at times. And sometimes that happens in the same game.
Mm-hmm.
But come playoff time, he seems to, first of all, he doesn't get lost in the moment. I think that's a big thing. He never gets into these playoff games, and you don't get the sense there's any more pressure on him, home or away. You think about that game at Denver when he had to throw that, what around here they call the mile-high miracle, the pass to Jacoby Jones. You know, there they are. They're losing. It's the last minute. All the reporters are headed to the tunnel of the stadium for the, you know, Broncos winning press conference. And here he goes in the last minute of the game and gets it overtime. They win the game. He's not fazed, and he certainly is not fazed about going up and playing in New England. That he's proven. So he's an even keeled guy. They joke that the day after, you know, he signed, when he first learned that the contract, that his deal was done, he was home having a pizza party with his family. And when he got back here and did the press conference with the Ravens after getting it, there's a great picture of him. He drove through McDonald's on the way home. I mean, that's just the kind of guy he is. They call him Joe Cool around here. And I know, I'm sure in New England, I'm sure that, you know, they don't put him in the same class as Brady, and that's fair given what Brady's done. But, again, you cannot knock what Flacco's been able to do in the playoffs. And to me, the biggest things are, number one, no mistakes or not many mistakes, and number two, just a general sense of calm. And as I said, he doesn't shy from the moment, and the moment's never too big for him.
Well, I think there are a lot of similarities between Brady's early postseason career and that of Flacco. Not necessarily the same style quarterback, but you make a great point, because some guys may be better at doing certain things but aren't necessarily the right guys for certain systems. Flacco seems to be the perfect kind of quarterback for a team like the Ravens, who consistently have good defenses, who consistently, you know, win in special teams and get good field position, who use the run game and play a very physical style, and he's a guy who throws with a purpose and yet doesn't turn it over often, as you said.
No, that's their formula. That's the way they want to win. They want to win with good defense. They have to be able to run the ball. I mean, that to me, and they say that's the staple of a Kubiak offense, but that's really the case with him anyway. If they get in a game where he's dropping back 45 and 50 times, then they're in trouble, because that is not the way they want to play. They want to, first of all, defend, and then when they get the ball, they want to be able to run it. And then when they run it, they can complement that with his throws, whether they're play action. He's done a lot of kind of rolling out this year and finding guys. I think that's a pretty effective way to use him. He's got better legs than people give him credit for. So he can do this play action bootlegs and things like that that I think is effective with him. But he's never, they do not want to get in a situation where he's slinging it 45 and 50 times. That is not what they want. The game starts on the ground. They want to be able to run it and use the run to set up the pass. And ideally, he's throwing the ball 25 to 30, 35 times tops if they're going to be effective, because, you know, running is where it starts with them.
We're joined by Bo Smolka at B. Smolka, S-M-O-L-K-A, of course, that covers the Ravens for Comcast Sportsnet in the Baltimore, Washington area. Bo, we know about Steve Smith. We know about Torrey Smith. The guys who will block for Joe Flacco, trying to find those two receivers, Owen Daniels, and, of course, for Justin Forsett in the run game. Hurst played left tackle, Yonda right tackle against Pittsburgh. Monroe's back at practice. What do you expect Saturday on that offensive line for the Ravens?
Well, I think if Monroe is able to go, he'll be at left tackle. The other thing is, this team lost their right tackle as well, Rick Wagner, who mm-hmm. was a second-year player out of Wisconsin, who he came in and filled in, took over from Michael Orr at right tackle this year. And when the Ravens broke camp this year, that was one of the big questions was, you know, Monroe had just re-signed at left tackle. He's looked pretty solid. The big question was Rick Wagner ready to take over and be a starter at right tackle? And he played very well. He had a strong year. But then he got hurt, and he's on injured reserve now. So if Monroe is able to come back and play, what they will do is probably go with Monroe at left tackle. Hurst would then probably move over and possibly play right tackle, or Marshall Yonda, who's been the best guard, I think, in the league this year, has moved out and played right tackle. They could keep him at right tackle. There's another rookie named John Urschel out of Penn State who's been playing right guard next to Yonda when Yonda plays tackle. That's the other way they could configure it and leave Monroe at tackle and Yanda at tackle and leave Urschel at guard. Monroe, we'll see. I mean, always come back to practice. You know, I don't know a prognosis yet for whether he'll be able to play, how good he'll be. Hurst is an undrafted rookie out of North Carolina who's had his moments. He's looked good at times. He's been beaten at times. It's a better team, obviously, I think, if you have Monroe in there. And then the question is, will they keep Yanda at tackle and put Hurst at and put Urschel at guard, or move Yanda to guard and go with Hurst at tackle? I know when Wagner got hurt, they moved Yanda out to tackle, so that might be the alignment that you'll see.
Hey, Bo, in our final minute, your thoughts about the matchup that we should see on Saturday? I know you've given us a lot of insight with regards to the Ravens. We haven't talked much about the defense. Certainly, as noted, the secondary did a good job against the Steelers. The defensive front applies a lot of pressure. Smith and Mosley have had good years at linebacker as well. What do you expect on Saturday here in Foxborough?
Well, I mean, I think their defensive pressure is going to be the story. If Tom Brady has time to throw, he can find openings. He'll find guys. How they defend Gronkowski is going to be big. I expect them to use the safety, Will Hill, to kind of be a very active guy with Gronkowski. He was the one that had to deal with. He did a good job with in New Orleans, Will Hill, the safety. But they've got to get pass rush, and they're able to do it. They can get up the middle. Haloti not as tough. The guy I think to watch is Pernell McPhee. Mm-hmm. The Ravens will use him in a lot of different ways. They'll use him coming off the edge. They'll use him down on the line. They'll use him almost as a nose guard. He's a pass rusher who comes in. He's quick, and I think he's a guy that can be disruptive up the middle. He can be disruptive on the edge. He's kind of an under-the-radar guy. He doesn't get the sack numbers of Doomerville and Suggs, but he creates problems. And to me, the whole key for the Ravens is getting to Brady quickly. I know he wants to get the tempo going, wants to get it out quickly, and certainly he's going to try that. But can the Ravens get to Brady and just disrupt him? Because if they can't, yes, their back end is struggling. It's improved. It has improved over the last, well, certainly since the Roethlisberger torched them in week 9. But their secondary is not their strength. So obviously their goal is to get to Brady quickly with the pressure and not give him the opportunity to kind of the time to make his choices downfield. So I think that pressure up front for the Ravens defensively will be, to me, the number one key of the game.
Hey, Bo, appreciate it. Thanks so much. Before I let you go, I want to give you a chance to plug the children's books. I noted that you've written some baseball-themed children's books for young readers. How can people find those?
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I've done a series of them. You can I've done a couple on the Negro Leagues that were really fascinating books to do, and I've written a couple other general baseball books. I'm just finishing another one up now on the Washington Nationals. But you can, I know they're up on Amazon and through some a couple other sites. But I appreciate that. I've always loved baseball, so around here in Baltimore, it's a fun baseball season for a change. So that's been very fun.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing the transformation that took place when the Orioles were going through so many years of their lean period before turning it around the last couple of seasons. But it went from a baseball town to a football town during my time living in the Mid-Atlantic, for sure.
It did. It's a football town. The baseball team, it was really exciting to see the baseball team kind of get back on board. I remember this fall, this October, I saw more orange around this town than you'd seen in a lot of Octobers in the past decade or so. But it's a football town now to a large degree, and why wouldn't it be? This team is consistently a playoff team, and, you know, here we are again, headed to New England again.
Well, I hope I see you on Saturday. I know that your work writing may preclude you from coming up, but if you do, look forward to seeing you.
All right, Bob. Thanks very much.
Thanks so much.
Good talking to you.
You too. Bo Smolka of Comcast Sportsnet, and you can follow him at bsmolka, B-S-M-O-L-K-A on Twitter. And again, some interesting insight about the Ravens. McPhee's the name, not one that we've heard a lot or read a lot in anticipation of this game on Saturday, but it certainly makes a lot of sense trying to put strain on the interior of the Patriots offensive line, complementing the work of guys like Williams and Haloti Ngata. I spoke with Scott Zolak a few moments before we went on the air live here on our Subway Fresh broadcast studios. Of course, Zoe will join me Saturday for the 4:35 matchup of the Patriots and the Ravens in the AFC Divisional Playoffs. New England at 12-4, the Ravens Ravens, 10-6 in the regular season before their win over the Steelers. On Saturday, and sitting down with Zoe, just got about 5 minutes or so of his insights as well in anticipation of this matchup of the Patriots and the Ravens. All right, Scott Zolak joins us now. Zoe, looking forward to Saturday's broadcast, and here we go again, Patriots-Ravens, and the storylines will be examined and exhausted all week long. Third time in the playoffs for these teams since 2011, fourth time since 2009.
This is like Oregon versus Florida State. It's good versus evil. It's the good guys versus the bad guys. But I keep going back to that statement Belichick made. What was that, a football life back in 2009? Guys, I know they're going to be there. You know they're going to be there. They know they're going to be there. Talking about Baltimore, and I think it's the new rival. I really do. I don't think it's the Jets anymore. Even though the Jets have played them well, you know, with Rex being gone, and you know, I mean, God, you look at our whole division again. You know, I told you that. I told you that the last week. I said the Buffalo coach won't be there. Their quarterback won't be there. Things are going to stay status quo in Miami, which is good for our division. Sorry to take the shots here, but here we are doing another divisional game. You and I in year two, and normally guys that get play-by-play gigs or color gigs early in their careers kind of got to get their feet wet, and maybe you go through the process. But we've been fortunate enough to call, you know, an AFC championship game last year. Here we are in a divisional game with a pretty healthy Patriots team. And, you know, they're playing at home. If they don't advance, they screw this one up on Saturday, bud.
Yeah, you mentioned the new rivalry between these teams. Are they the same rivals, though? Some of the principals are there for Baltimore, John Harbaugh, Joe Flacco, of course, Terrell Suggs. But is this the same Ravens team or the same caliber of Ravens team that came in here and won in the AFC Championship just 2 years ago?
I think they're all different. I think they're each year changes, but there is something to be said as far as building your foundation. The foundation's been the same here for 15 years since this quarterback's been here with this head coach. I sped things up this week. I watched a ton of film on the Baltimore Ravens, and yeah, I went back and watched that Pittsburgh game over again. I'm starting to get the feeling that Pittsburgh, I think we over-evaluated Pittsburgh, maybe gave them a little too much credit. They didn't smartly block them up front. And when I say smartly block them, I'm talking about assignments. It wasn't like Baltimore set the house. They maybe blitzed 5-6 times. Still got 5 sacks on Roethlisberger. So you're losing one-on-one battles. You know, I go back to that Detroit game where Josh McDaniels called a quick-set pass game where, you know, the offensive linemen are punching, so to speak. And it's a quick punch, get the hands down. Brady's in a 3-step drop. Ball's out of his hand, quick five, abbreviated five. Everything speeds up. And I know Suggs is expecting that when you hear him talk about it this week, that, hey, we got to be faster on the path. How you change? Well, we got to change it faster. I don't know how, but we got to be faster. And he's right. They got to get to Brady early in this game. And I think it's up to, you know, with Dan Connolly back in the mix, I think that helps solidify things up front. You know, if Connolly's there, Solder, I think, is better. I think Stork has less to worry about. Plus, it keeps Marcus Cannon, no offense, but keeps him off the field. And not that it keeps them off the field, but it keeps them out of the rotation. I don't think they get in a flow when they start rotating tackles and they go big. And if they do elect to go big, maybe they take a guy like Cameron Fleming, and he's the guy that they put in there.
You turn it around and look at the Patriots' defense versus the Ravens' offense, and certainly Baltimore still has that big play capability with the arm of Flacco. Steve Smith is coming off another 100 yard outburst, off a 1,000-yard season at his age, remarkably so. Torrey Smith, still a long ball threat with 11 receptions for touchdowns. There's four set, 1,200-plus yards rushing.
They got a good spread again. I mean, it's not what it was the championship year, but, you know, it's a team that was on the upswing. I think their offensive line was better with guys like Michael Orr and company. And, you know, they have drafted well. They have over the years, but I think it's plug and play now. I don't think the front seven is what it was, but even though they got Doomerville and Suggs, secondary isn't what it was. And I think that's a big advantage without having a guy like Ed Reed there. You know, you remember Rodney Harrison when he left here and how long it took to kind of solidify things from the safety position. They had some guys like Merriweather. Bodies were there, but really didn't have the play that Rodney had. And I'm talking about an Ed Reed type player, which is huge with the matchup. If you look at the tight end, Gronkowski healthy in this game. The last two times you played the Ravens in a spot, he wasn't there and you didn't have him. I think that's a big thing. I think Revis and Brown are matching up against the guys that you mentioned. And I love Steve Smith. I think he's a hell of a competitor. You and I were down there at Carolina last year when he got under Tlaib's skin. See, I don't think that game is in play here with Revis. Revis will tune that out. He'll just be the same player every play.
Some of the things that stood out for me, too, with Pittsburgh is that Zuda, the center for the Ravens, really struggled in that game. And you think about the Patriots, how they've gotten to quarterbacks recently. Mm-hmm. It's been
a gap. Pressure.
A gap.
Yeah. And I think
Phillip
it's timing.
Rivers.
It's timing. I mean, you got to kind of disguise that,
Smith.
Even though you got to show it. But if you could hold it back until you take Collins, until you take Hightower and hit that gap on the run, and it's about I don't want to say, area control, but, I mean, you're not saying, hey, Vince, hey, Salinga, hey, Branch, we want you to go and get sacks. We're about stats. Your job is to secure a certain area. If you could take two guys, move them, and in essence move that line of scrimmage and just anchor things down, allow the athletic guys to run. You got Ayers coming up underneath. Now we got Chandler Jones, another 2 weeks to rest his hip. And I just the more I look at this game, it's checkmark, 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 New England.
Of course, mistakes have been prevalent in this series. +7 yeah. for Baltimore in the playoffs in turnover differential against
here.
The Patriots.
That's why they're here. And to warn anybody and to caution you, and even though I say checkmark, 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 New England, the game of football changes on the course of one play. Go back to last week, Dallas is down 14 points. And Detroit is pretty much having their way with them. And what happens? They crease them on a 76-yarder to Williams right up the gut. Awful angle by Ahedebo, awful angle by the other guy. Next thing you know, you got a 14-7 game where things look bleak, and Detroit was getting the ball there to start second half. So one play like that can change a game. One strip sack, one scoop, one score, one pick six, one return by Jacoby Jones. If you're not up to speed in a return game, hey, they're going to make you pay for it. That's why they're here.
You talked about the Ravens' defense, offense, special teams, as you mm-hmm. alluded to with Jacoby Jones. A strength of theirs, usually the Pats go in, and special right. teams is a huge advantage. Baltimore very good in every facet of special teams play.
Yeah, they are. They really are. They've had some different kickers, but they've had some explosive guys in a return game. And if it's going to be cold on Saturday, which it is, I think, I don't know if you checked it, but I think it's 16, 16 at the kick. Yeah, you've been here the last couple days, and you know what it's like with the wind chill. So I think if the wind's down, we'll be fine. But that ball's dead when you kick it in these conditions. So I don't know how far it's going to fly. If Steve could get it to the goal line, I think it would be huge. Then it's up to them if they want to return it. Plus, when they decide to return it, there's a chance you could pin their ass back on a 12. So all that stuff is in play. So it's up to Baltimore. Do we want to give up 8 yards where we're guaranteed that 20? Do you really want to chance it? But hey, they got to worry about us, too. I mean, we got Edelman. You got Amendola, who's giving you a spark in the kick return game. And guys like Casillas, Ayers. Everybody's been playing. Brandon Bolden. Everybody. Everybody's done a nice job in a kick return game. So we'll see what happens.
And it kicks off 4:35 Saturday. Looking forward to it.
I thought it was 4:30. So you're already still another 5.
Right around 4:30. Thereabouts. We'll be ready to go at 4:30 just in case.
I'm not sleeping this week. I'm not going to sleep this week. I'm not going to sleep next week. And then we're going to go to Arizona for a week, and we're not going to sleep there. So it's nobody needs sleep this time of year.
So I hope your words are prophetic.
I'm kidding. Yeah.
Thanks, buddy.
I'm going to get some sleep. All right. See you, Bob.
Hey, what kind of sub is that?
It's a Subway Big Hot Pastrami.
Subway Big Hot Pastrami?
No. Pastrami.
Pastrami!
What? Hey, get back here! Pastrami!
No, pastrami!
Look, it's the Subway Big Hot Pastrami!
Want to split it?
A little late for that.
Get your own Subway Big Hot Pastrami Melt, a monument to flavor loaded with dry rub, pepper-crusted beef, and melty cheese. Enjoy yours with mustard and pickles. Subway, eat fresh.
Limited time only at participating restaurants.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or Tri-Corner Hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie. 3 Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Arizona. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square, across from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Xbox One is not only a game console, but the home entertainment system every fantasy football fan needs. The NFL on Xbox One is your connection to all things fantasy, giving you personalized news, highlights, stats, and scores instantly on your TV. Watching your favorite team play on Sunday but wondering how your fantasy players are doing? With built-in fantasy football, track your updates on TV in real time across NFL.com fantasy leagues, all while still watching live games. Xbox One, bringing fantasy football to your TV. Now available for $349 at a Microsoft store near you.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go, go. That's it. Come on, kick it in hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call *NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Pumped up for this week's game?
Beast Mode! Protein bars for everybody!
Well, we are too!
Energy!
Call the Bob Soucy Show on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 855-PATS-500 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com. Now, here's your host, Bob Soucy.
And we welcome you back. We'll close out this edition of the Bob Soucy Show from inside our Subway Fresh broadcast studios with some insights from the players themselves. Today, several Patriots were available, whether in the press media working room, press conference area, or in the locker room. And among those who have spoken on record for the Pats the last couple of days, in fact, Julian Edelman, who met with the press today. And, of course, Edelman sat out the last two games of the regular season, battling through a concussion for the Patriots, but coming off a second consecutive terrific season for New England as the team's leader in receptions and, of course, Tom Brady's go-to guy so often in key situations. Julian Edelman was asked about his return and as well being away from the team, what it was like for Edelman, a guy so competitive who's worked so hard to get to this point in his NFL career, while being on the sideline at the end of the regular season.
You know, anytime you don't get to go out and play with your teammates, it's very tough, especially at the end of the year where you're preparing for postseason, but everything's, all that's in the past, and you know, I'm looking forward to today and preparing for the Ravens and getting ready for this game.
Tom fires down the middle for Edelman, leaps to make the grab, comes down with a stiff arm, runs away from a defender, in the clear to the 35-30, Julian to the 20, Edelman to the 10, Edelman to the end zone, touchdown, Patriots!
Playmaker, make a play! Woo! What a play fake by the quarterback, but a guy that we saw get knocked out in the Green Bay game, that fought to get back into that game. He's your ultimate Patriot, making a play when your offense needs it. Big time play by number 11. Boom!
Yeah, it's exciting. You know, we get to play the Ravens again. I've probably played this team the most out of any team I've played in my career here. So it's going to be fun. You know, these guys are going to bring it. Everyone thinks that we hate them, but you know, these are the type of games where it's, you know, it's cold, it's a battle, and you know, you like competing against the Baltimore Ravens because you know they're a good team. So you know, we have a few more days to prepare, and we're gonna get ready for that.
A 37-yard attempt for Billy Kunda from the near side hash,
The angle will be to his left. 27-yard field goal attempt. Set to go. Snap. Ball down. Kick up. Kick is...
He hooked it! No good! No good! He missed it! He missed it from 32 yards out! He missed it from 32 yards out with 11 seconds left in the game! And the Patriots are going to the Super Bowl! We're going easy!
Snap to Brady. Stands in, fires to the end zone, and it is intercepted by the Baltimore Ravens, and that will wrap it up.
I mean, they're still Baltimore. I mean, you know, every year they're a little different. Yeah, they're different this year. But they still have a lot of explosive players at all positions. And they're a real savvy team in the playoffs. You know, once they're in here in this tournament, seems like they always do good things. So, you know, we're definitely going to have our work cut out for us. And, you know, it's definitely going to be a battle. And we're going to have to take advantage of these last few days to prepare. And, you know, that's what we're doing.
One of the differences for the Ravens that Julian Edelman may not have been referring to, talking about the Ravens as an offensive player, is what the Ravens do with their offense in the run game. Of course, Baltimore has had three different offensive coordinators since the start of the 2012 season, from Cam Cameron to Jim Caldwell to Gary Kubiak, who is the former head coach of the Houston Texans. But going back to his career as the offensive coordinator for the Denver Broncos, has overseen a system involving cut blocks as part of a zone blocking scheme, and often has produced 1,000-yard rushers. Not just Terrell Davis, but the likes of even Reuben Jones. And this year for the Ravens, the well-traveled Justin Forsett, diminutive back with more than 1,200 rushing yards for Baltimore, as a dangerous back capable of breaking long runs, averaging over 5 yards per carry at the top of the leaderboard in that particular category in the NFL. And Vince Wilfork was asked today during his press conference about the Ravens' rushing attack and specifically the challenges of defending that Gary Kubiak coached zone blocking scheme.
First thing you have to deal with is a lot of cut blocks. Facing a team like this is the cut blocks, and then also they play action pass look the same exact way, and so that's probably one of the hardest things to figure out during the course of the play is if it's a boot or is it a run, and they make it look exactly the same. So that's a credit to them. So we want to do a real good job of actually understanding and doing our job and just going through all of our film work, what we saw in film, and trusting our techniques. But it's going to be challenging. It's always challenging to face a team that run this type of offense, just because there's so many things that they can do off of it, with the cut blocks, with the play action pass, with, you know, trying to get the ball vertical, not knowing where the running back's going to cut. So it gives their offense a lot of different areas that they can actually create lanes up front. So we got to do a really good job up front of just playing good technique, and hopefully that'll be good enough.
Pierce again, he takes the handoff, and he is hit in the backfield, and he is dropped in the backfield, and the Ravens absorb a loss of one, now to face a third and long from their 25.
I think they do a real good job as an offense up front with the tight ends and blocking downfield, and the running back being able to see those holes and see where he can crease you at. So they do a real good job of working together. I think that's how this offense is built. If they all work together, which they have been doing, they've been very successful running the football. So that's something they want to do. That's something that they've been doing very well. So I don't think they'll change this week just because of they coming to face us. So we have our hands full. It's a challenge for us, but at the same time, we welcome the challenge.
One of the other challenges for the Patriots defense, as you just heard from Vince Wilfork, is stopping the long ball of the Ravens when Joe Flacco dials it up in search of Torrey Smith specifically, and as well Steve Smith. What Flacco has done exceptionally well, in fact better than any other quarterback in the NFL, and perhaps in part too to the nature of the Ravens' long ball passing attack that usually goes after the edges, is draw defensive pass interference penalties. And really a fascinating story on ESPN.com today by Zach Rogers about Flacco's ability to get the DPI, the defensive pass interference, 15 this season. And since he entered the league in 2008, he's drawn 78 accepted defensive pass interference penalties, most in the NFL, and 13 more than the next closest quarterback, Eli Manning, of the Giants. So the Patriots, of course, have to defend Torrey Smith, Steve Smith, the rest of the Ravens receivers and tight ends, and they've got to avoid the penalty, which Pittsburgh could not do in one third down spot, give up 32 yards on a spot foul because of a DPI. Darrelle Revis was asked about that prospect today when he met the media.
They do a great job of making defenders get that pass interference call. You see it all the time on film. And we recognize that, and we got techniques for that that we've been working on. So, like I said, we recognize these things, and we see them on film, and the only thing we can do is just prepare the best way, and that's what we're trying to do.
Darrelle Revis, of course, talking about avoiding the defensive pass interference calls for the Patriots against the Baltimore Ravens. And, of course, many figure that Darrelle Revis will have the primary assignment in trying to stop Steve Smith. And Smith certainly was a factor, even at his advanced age, and now, of course, carrying the suffix Steve Smith Sr. as a wide receiver for the Baltimore Ravens in his first year with the Ravens after a distinguished career as a feisty, very tough slot receiver, outside receiver, you name it, attacking defenses at all levels for the Carolina Panthers. We certainly saw him last year have an effect on that outcome on Monday night when the Panthers won a close game against the Patriots right from the jump, getting under the skin and getting behind Aqib Talib for a big play. Steve Smith, challenge it for Darrelle Revis. If that's the case, if he winds up covering Smith, he has a great deal of respect going into the matchup.
His age is what it is on paper, but he's still electrifying. Still electrifying receiver. He still make big plays.
He's looking to throw deep down the left side. He's got his man. Smith is open. Makes the over-the-shoulder grab. Tackled at midfield. The veteran still has it.
He's very savvy. He's very smart. And he's a big-time impact player on their team.
And, of course, Saturday afternoon, Darrelle Revis and the rest of the Patriots try to take the next step of this 2014 campaign in the calendar year of 2015, and that's to move on to the AFC Championship game. It will not be an easy task, as hopefully we've documented, laid out for you, but certainly the Patriots going into this matchup with the Ravens, a complete football team in a lot of different respects. The Ravens as well, a team with supreme confidence coming off their win over the Pittsburgh Steelers on the road, once again behind quarterback Joe Flacco under head coach John Harbaugh. Kickoff at 4:35. We're looking forward to it. I'm certainly looking forward to the end of all the pregame talk from the various locker rooms and, of course, the analysis of the media. Just want the game to get started. And Scott Zolak and I will call it as it unfolds on the Patriots radio network on flagship station 98.5, the Sports Hub in Boston, and, of course, our affiliates throughout New England. And hopefully this time next week from 4 to 6 on Wednesday afternoon, we'll be back here in our Subway Fresh broadcast studios at Gillette Stadium previewing the AFC Championship game and reflecting on the Patriots matchup with the Ravens. But as noted, by no means a foregone conclusion. One anticipates a very difficult game for the Pats against the Ravens in the divisional matchup on Saturday at 4:35. And now as we part way for this edition of the Bob Soucy Show, special thanks to producers Kevin Collins and especially today to Zach Lane for hanging in there with us and working behind the glass and behind the controls. Special thanks as well to our guest, Silver Salinga of the Pats, Bo Smolka of Comcast Sports Network, New Mid-Atlantic, Scott Zolak, and Jackie Britton. And, of course, thanks to you for logging on and downloading us if you're listening on the podcast as well. So long, everyone.
Thanks for listening to the Bob Soucy Show, exclusively on Patriots.com Radio.
Sets up with a throw to the right side, catch made by Edelman, turns to the end zone, and he runs it past the five. He throws to the end zone! Touchdown! And the lead for the Patriots!
Bob will be back next Wednesday from 4 to 6 p.m. with the latest news and reaction from this week's game, as well as a preview of the Patriots' next opponent.
Hand off Ridley, runs it right. Ridley dives to the goal line. He's in again. Touchdown, Patriots!
Log on to Patriots.com anytime to find the latest Bob Soucy Show podcasts, as well as the very latest news and information on your favorite team.
Shotgun snap to Manning. Play fake, a throw to the near side. Ball picked off by Logan Ryan. Diving break on the ball.
He's got it.
As he stepped in front of Eric Decker.
He's got it.
Patriots take over.
This place is berserk.
We look forward to hearing from you on the next edition of the Bob Soucy Show.
Hey, what kind of sub is that?
It's a Subway Big Hot Pastrami.
Subway Big Hot Pastrami?
No. Pastrami.
Pastrami!
What? Hey, get back here! pastrami.
No pastrami.
Look, it's the Subway Big Hot Pastrami.
Want to split it?
A little late for that.
Get your own Subway Big Hot Pastrami Melt, a monument of flavor loaded with dry rub, pepper-crusted beef, and melty cheese. Enjoy yours with mustard and pickles. Subway, eat fresh.
Limited time only at participating restaurants.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or Tri-Corner Hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie. Three Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.